Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on July 15th of 2020. And I'm your host, as usual, the Miracle Man. And so glad that you could join us. However you're joining us, wherever you're joining us from, around the world. I had reports that 20% of those listening on my show were from Saudi Arabia and a few from a couple other countries. And that is beautiful, that people from other countries even are hearing the word of God on this broadcast, and that is very good to see. Really is, because after all, Jesus said in the Great Commission in Mark 16, he told us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. By that he meant human. Not your dog, your cat, your lion, your guinea pig, you know, whatever pet you have, because your pet doesn't have a soul to the point where can be saved and accept Jesus. All a pet concerned about is food, shelter, exercise, you know, things of that nature. They don't necessarily have the capacity to understand, Jesus, to understand being saved. I know when I was little, when I had my golden retriever, Hingler, I used to tease and say, can't we take my dog to church and he can get saved? And she would say, Mom had to tell me no. He doesn't have the, he's not truly able to be saved, you know, and understand. Now, my mom used to tease me about it, you know, and that, and be like, he may be able to get saved, but he can't come to church with us. But the real truth is they can't. Because I used to think, when I was little, that when he said, preach to every creature, I used to think that meant your dog, your cat, your teddy bear, your guinea pig, you know, that stuff. Turns out, he's talking about humans. And one of the signs that the end would be near is the time when every country has heard the word of God. That would be one of the signs. Tonight, in a little while, I'm going to deal with the 1,000-year reign. And what exactly happens there. What happens. And I'll be digging into that in just a little bit. But first, I kind of want to give you a little bit of an update on kind of how things have been going. First of all, you know, we gotta keep America in our prayers. We got to continue to believe God, and we will hear in a few minutes. We got to continue to believe God that God will just pull down Pharaoh's chariots, whatever the enemy has planned, that it would be stopped right now in its tracks as far as the virus, as far as Antifa, as far as, because in case you didn't know, all this was planned. The virus didn't just come from a bat. No. Dr. Lonnie Brown, who you've heard me refer to before, he wrote a certain book. He just wrote it, supposed to be out on Amazon right now, but guess what? They banned it. And this book's all about the virus, called The Phantom Virus, how they used a virus to, you know, instill fear and all that kind of stuff. And he wrote like 300 and some pages about all the plans that they have had, all the plans, everything that's been planned. And I'll just give you an example. Some of your listeners may know this, some of you may not. The vaccine that they're trying to try to see if they can get it to work is basically made by Bill Gates and Fauci, and their goal is to kill off a chunk of the population because they think there's too many people on Earth. But the truth of the matter is this. You can't vaccinate a virus. You know that, Shelley? You can't vaccinate a virus. If they did, if they could, you'd have a vaccine for H1N1. You'd have one for AIDS. You'd have one for, you know, for all these different viruses. The flu is a virus, but those vaccines have problems. The one time I got a flu vaccine, a month later I came down sick for about a week. And I haven't gotten a flu vaccine since. So, and in the trials of this new vaccine, people are reportedly having problems with fever. It'd be one thing if it was just maybe pain at the injection site for a day, and it just seemed a little sore. You know that's to be expected a lot of times. You know. Just like if you had an IV put in, it might hurt for a day or something. But unfortunately, many of the trial participants have had problems with the fever 1 to 2 days after. The problem with that is fever is one of the symptoms of COVID. So, and normally when you get a vaccine, what a vaccine is supposed to do is give you the antibodies without giving you symptoms, especially if a vaccine worked the way it was truly intended. Without all this fetus junk in it and all that other stuff, metal and all that other stuff they put in them, they put in some of these. It, and they're getting I don't and now in these certain journals and you may read, ABC, NBC, MSDNC, they when they say, oh yeah, these trials weren't good, by the way, but by the way, that a little more than half the people had a fever. The fact that a little more than half the people had a fever, Shelley, I don't know about you, but to me, that is a bad sign. That is a mistake. That is not good, is it? That means that there are safety concerns with it and that the trial needs to be stopped. Don't you think? That means gotta try something else. That's why ultimately what we have to do, listeners, is believe that this thing dies out quickly in God's timing. Now, I have some good things to tell you about this. For one thing, now, when at the hospitals, when they're doing the daily, 19 reports, those won't go directly to the CDC anymore. Those will go to the Trump administration. That way, they have an idea of what's going on, with the hopes that states won't try to mess with it anymore. One state was caught inflating the numbers, not even differentiating positive and negative in some cases. Like in one sitting, 98% positive. They meant 9.8%. So this should, so with this happening, in Jesus' name, this will give us a clearer picture of what's actually going on, and all that. I have another real cool thing to tell you, and this is from the state of Kentucky, where a judge, let me give you the story behind this. Well, so on July 9th, Governor Andy Beshear of Kentucky, he made an executive order to require residents to wear masks effective Friday, July 10th, 6 p.m. Well, he makes the executive order, so people are supposed to start wearing masks the next day. But a judge, Scott County, Kentucky, he said, he made a ruling that said all of Governor Beshear's executive orders regarding COVID, including the mask order, are temporarily void, at least temporarily, until they can be better looked at. And when I found this out last night, I was like, thank you, Jesus. And the truth of the matter is, in that state, they are actually seeing a decrease in cases. Now, I have to tell you something. Cases, I know in some places they're having issues with, they're having issues with increases in deaths or whatever, but those are mainly older people. But a lot of these new cases that are being reported in a lot of these states, they're asymptomatic and they're in a younger demographic. A lot of times they're in the age range of 18 to 34, which is very different from those that are like, those that are like, you know, 60, 70, 80. In a particular state that I know of, there have been more deaths of those 85 and up than what there have been of COVID, than what there have been of those who are under 80. Now, I want to remind you of something I brought up once before, Farr's Law. You've heard of Farr's Law, right, Shelley?
No.
His last name is Farr, I forget his first name, but some doctor from the 1800s said that over time, you know, when viruses are released, that viruses don't get stronger, they get weaker, which means that as it mutates, it gets weaker. That's why, even though there might be more spread in a bunch of these places, you're not seeing the amount of deaths that you were seeing, like in March, April. It's not March or April anymore, folks. People are, and it's though it might be spreading, people aren't dying. And the media, they are so good at spreading fear. They like to say, oh my gosh, we have a ton of new cases. And they won't focus as much on the hospitalizations and deaths. In reality, you should measure it by hospitalizations and deaths, not just how many had it. Because what about all the asymptomatic cases? You got tested, you find out you're positive, you don't even know you have the symptoms. Some of these people never end up having the symptoms within the 2 weeks. And so, like I said, we just got to continue to believe God. At the same time, it's good to see that truth is coming out. I believe you're going to see truth continue to come out, especially with the news I received last night about starting today where the data goes. And I know what our governor just said today, that cases keep going up, but we're going to believe God that that's not going to happen. And because you lock it back down like California did, it won't be pretty. So we're going to. Heavenly Father, I come before you right now. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your hand is on us. Your hand is on us. Your hand is on America. I thank you that America would come to you and repent and turn from their wicked ways, that you would hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal our land and kill COVID-19. I pray in the name of Jesus that the case numbers would drop, and that whatever the enemy has planned, that you'll just take the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot and just flatten those. If it's like a bike-type chariot, that you just flatten the tires, you know, break the brakes. Just don't just take the wheels off, destroy it. I don't mean to laugh, but it's like, just take the wheels off that thing and just bring it to naught. And I thank you, Lord Jesus, that we have victory in you, Lord God, and that we are winners, and that COVID is dead. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And everyone said, amen. 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 Now, one thing I had heard, and this is how I feel. Dr. Copeland said, this was from a couple months ago, but I heard it a couple days ago, and he said what God had told him. I don't necessarily feel this way because he said it. I just feel like that's what's in my spirit. What I'm about to say is in my spirit. God said, I am waking up my people in this country. He said, I'm waking up my people. As my people awaken, I will apply the blood and the virus will be gone from off the land. He was also told by the Spirit to tell the people of God, Copeland was, that COVID will be over sooner than you think. As to when that means, I don't know necessarily, but he just said sooner than you think. Now, you know, the devil loves to deceive people, and he will use others to deceive the people of God, and deception runs rampant today. It really does. And I just wanted to remind all of you. I might have said it a few days ago. I might have not. But God had said, as my people awaken, the American people awaken, I will remove the virus from off the land. I think we'll see, and as that happens, I think we're going to see revival break out. I just think it's going to be amazing what God's going to do. And so, it kind of goes back to 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Amen. And when you look at America was built to be a Christian nation. Over time, it was weakened, watered down. As far as the Christianity of America, watered down. You know, got to where you couldn't have God in school anymore. You know, you couldn't have prayer in school. Abortion was legalized. All this, then gay marriage legal in all states, and this and this and this. Over time, America got more and more wicked. And now, it's like I said. You say, did God cause the corona? No, no, no. He didn't. I just didn't want any of you to think, you know, that God caused corona. No, he did not. He did not. But he said, but I did just remind you of that verse. You know, my people humble themselves. That it should be the verse for America right now. That the people of America who say they're Christian, as of a couple of years ago, remember this, Shelley, Dr. Barclay used to say, 87% of Americans claim to be Christian. In that case, why are our churches in this country so empty on Sunday mornings? Why is the tithing rate 2%? Why and why and why? That, and just imagine if all those who said they were Christian actually voted like it. Just imagine, listeners, what could happen. Just imagine. Just imagine. And so we just got to believe God that the Americans awaken. And they need to realize how they were wrong and repent. You know, even those who rioted, looted, decided they were in favor of defunding the police, you know, all that craziness that's still going on, but not to the degree that it was, they repent. When you, if my people repent, if people in America repent, turn from their wicked ways, humble themselves, that means humble yourself. That means if you're prideful, you get rid of your pride. And the thing about pride is, it's kind of like bad breath. Everybody knows you've got it but you. And you think you're just fine. So, but, praise God. Thought I'd just give you a little bit of a update as to what's going on. You know, I did not make the show to be a political soapbox or anything like that. But sometimes when you've got everything going on that is, and rather than that, sometimes I like to just give you kind of, you know, what's going on in a way that's very different from what the news networks will tell you. Because these days, like, if you turn on the TV, if you turn on CNN, yeah, I can think of a lot of C's that can go with the Criminal News Network, Communist News Network, Constipated News Network, among others. I know, right? Why do you say criminal? Because they lie a lot, right, Shelley? Yeah. That works good, actually, doesn't it? CBS, and then ABC is a fake news, MSDNC. You'll be watching on TV, and all, and rather than just give you the news, they'll all be talking to all those other people, you know, different experts and wanting to get their take and all that kind of stuff. And I'll be like, can I get any news? Or am I just going to have all these people giving all their opinions on that and how they see it? Whereas every once in a while, I kind of give you an update. I just go by, pick out and go from, well, I don't know, mainly just related to what we're dealing with as far as, you know, as we reopen America and stuff like that. And you say, who inspired you to do it this way? Well, you know, over time, as I've been doing this for about 3 years, as I just, over time, you just borrow things, and over time, you know, as you, like Jonathan Shuttlesworth, sometimes even at the stand, sometimes the first few minutes, if it's his night to preach, he'll get up there, kind of talk about how things are going. And like how I did a few minutes ago about, you know, the virus and what have you, you know, before he gets to teaching. And that's part of where I got the idea from, because I follow the stand and what's going on there in Tampa, Florida, and it's going awesome. Today's their 41st day. Think about that. They've been doing it 41 days in a row. 41 days down there in Tampa, Florida. Many of the nights out there on that field, I was out there on night 11 that Wednesday night. It was awesome. The power level was, the power of God, it was just awesome. And things are, you know, God's still moving down there. Fields are starting to pop up in other places. And great to see. Couple more really quick things before we sing and get into the Word of the Lord. Number one, my birthday is Monday, so I'll be having my birthday, and then I don't know if I'll do a show Monday night or not. And then Tuesday and Wednesday night, Invasion starts Tuesday night. Tuesday night and Wednesday night, I'll be doing my show early. And then after which, I'll go to the evening service just to kind of see what's going on, how they're doing it. Worship, you know, and seeing God move. And I believe young people are going to be touched again, of course, as they are every year, even though I know circumstances are different this year. But, you know, God still works no matter what. Sure, he was moving during the, you know, the so-called Spanish flu of 1918. But keep Invasion in your prayers. Next show I do after tonight, I'll kind of give my life story again, kind of like how I did last year, the first show after my birthday. And we, you know, we have new listeners, so from time to time it doesn't hurt to share. Me to share, you know, my life story and, you know, some of the things I've went through and how God has been there for me through it all. And so, basically be my testimony. So I just wanted to remind you of that as well. So Invasion, my testimony. Also, I wanted to remind you to, when you're out and about, to swing by your local McDonald's on a hot day like today to grab yourself an icy cold Coca-Cola for the low price of just $1. And then, of course, as Futureman said, if you're in Michigan, at select McDonald's, you'll be able to get a Verner's or a Dr. Pepper. Of course, I choose Coke. And you get to choose whichever one you like. And while you're there, if you got the app and got the register for deals, you can use one of your deals. to get, for example, $1 large fries. I was so glad they do that now because they've been doing that in other locales, including that state to the south of us. So, we're going to sing a couple songs, and then we're going to talk about that thousand-year reign and what exactly happens. And amen. Nothing could separate, even if I ran away. Your love never fails. I know I still make mistakes, but you have your mercy for me every day. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. The wind is strong and the water's deep, but I'm not alone here in these open seas. Your love never fails. The castle was far too wide. I never thought I'd reach the other side. Your love never fails. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You stay the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be pain in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid, because I know that you love me. Your love never fails. Oh, no, your love never fails. You make all things work together for my good. Yes, you do. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. And I believe it. Healing is here. Healing is here. Yes, it is. Healing is here, and I receive it. I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer, I trust in you. Oh, Lord, for healing is here. Healing is here. Yes, it is. Healing is here. And I believe it. Jesus is here. Yes, he is. Jesus is here. Yes, he is. Jesus is here. Oh, I receive it. I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Oh, I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting off our fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. Sickness can't stay any longer. Your perfect love is casting out fear. You are the God of all power, and it is your will that my life is healed. I lift my hands to the heaven. I lift my eyes where my help comes from. I look to you, my rock, my healer. I trust in you. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Freedom is here. Oh, I believe it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We have freedom in you. We have healing in you. We have deliverance in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything we have in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you reign over us that you reign over us. You are our King. You're our Lord. You're our Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for everything you've done through us and in us and for us. And I just thank you, Lord God, for the word tonight that would go forth with boldness and simplicity. Thank you that you use me as an oracle, one of your oracles tonight, Lord. And I just thank you, Lord God, that you would just flow, have free will tonight. That may you just flow, do whatever you want tonight. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that tonight. Heavenly Father, I confess over this program that sponsors and partners come into this program, that increases in listenership come to this program, that finances come into this program. Most important in all of all, Jesus, I thank you for an increase in souls coming into the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Look at Revelation 20. I don't have it with me tonight. I left it somewhere, my Revelation book. But I'm going to talk to you tonight. We're going to teach on the thousand-year reign. Revelation 20. I'm just going to talk about the reign and what all happened and what led to it. R-E-I-G-N, not R-A-I-N. So I was going to say, thousand-year reign, like R-A-I-N? What? I'd rather have the thousand-year heat wave without humidity. Like where it's like a steady 90 degrees or so, 88. But because the humidity is so low, it would feel like 82, 83. That nice beaten sun down on your face. And it doesn't feel humid. And you can just tan and tan and tan and tan and somehow never burn. That'd be so glorious. But anyhow, he said, after this, I saw the dragon, and the dragon, like we discussed earlier, the dragon represents the devil. He was tied to a chain by God. He was tied up for 1,000 years. Tied up. He could do nothing for 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years were over, it says he was allowed to go free again for a short time. Now, it didn't say how long that time window was. It just said a short time. And then the verse that I was going to talk to you guys about tonight, and it talks about, you know, it deals with the mark of the beast a little bit again, those who didn't have the beast, mark of the beast on their arm or their forehead, because it would be in one of those two places. And of course, this was after the tribulation. during the tribulation, we're supposed to be in heaven. And then heaven will continue for the 1,000 years on earth. Jesus will be down here with us. He'll put his foot down on the Mount of Olives. And about this 1,000-year reign, you may wonder, will parents have children? Yes, there'll be children. It'll be very beautiful at that. And I think of that verse where it says, to God, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. So we're just going to say you're born and you live to be, let's just say, because for easy math, we'll just say we all live to be 100. Because I'm just keeping it easy math. A day is 24 hours. 24 hours works out to be, sorry, I'm just doing some math. Ten hours is 600 minutes. 20 hours is 1,200 minutes. 1,200. So I add 4 more hours to that. 1,480 minutes. So basically, if you live for 100 years, that basically be like 2.25 hours to God, about 2 hours and 15 minutes. Remember, Shelley, when we were in Florida, Dr. Brown was kind of teasing about it. He was going to make an appointment another way. He was kind of teasing. Remember?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny. So that means, like, example, this show, 1.5 hours. To God, that's like a minute, maybe in a few seconds. Yeah. Yep. And I think about 1,000-year run. 1,000-year reign. Another thing I think about is this song that used to be sang, that used to be played in my church at prayer time. I was talking about, better is one day in your house, better is one day in your court. No, better is one day in your room, better is one day in your court, better is one day in your house than thousands elsewhere. Thousands elsewhere, meaning all the thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of days that you'll be alive. Three sixty-five in a year, plus the leap days. So in 4th year, it's 366. Over 10 years, that's like that. Over 3,600. 3,700 days. 10 times 2, it's like 7,400. Because I had to think of all those different days, it would take about 25 years to get like 10,000 days. So that's about better. It's one day in the house of God is better than thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of days elsewhere. So about this thousand-year reign. Well, we have children. We'll have cars and that. I'm sure we'll have church and a bunch of the other things, but it'll be different. You say, will we? You want to know what we won't have, though? We won't have Satan to be able to deceive us. We won't, though we'll live here, we won't have Satan deceiving us. That means we won't be having those crazy user-friendly teachers, those who try to water down the Word of God. But the thousand-year reign is just going to be an amazing thing. And it's in Revelation 20, and it talks about it. But when I think of that thousand-year reign, I love the fact that God is going to, Jesus is going to live here on the earth with us. After he puts his foot down on the Mount of Olives, he chains up the devil for that 1,000 years. But after the 1,000 years is done, he's released again, but only for a short time. And then after that, he's placed into the lake of fire permanently, where he will stay forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And that'll be when he'll throw his absolute last tantrum. Will be when he's allowed to deceive for that short time. But that'll be so cool, though, getting to have God, like, living on the earth with us. That'll be amazing. Will we have jobs in that? The Bible doesn't necessarily specifically say. I know life then on the earth will be a lot better than what it is now. You know what won't be here for the thousand-year reign? COVID. I mean, COVID. There won't be no the reason I called it COVID, I mean COVID, because people were coveting toilet paper and other things. The day I decided to call it COVID, the first thing I'd noticed is just that the toilet paper was gone. You know, and all the cleaning products, and people were buying masks before places, like a month before places decided to make them mandatory. That's right, I said masks, not masks, masks. But they were out buying them all, and they were telling us, you know, you don't have to worry about it, and all that kind of stuff. But that to say, there will be no COVID-19 during the thousand-year reign. None. And it'll be a lot better than what it is now. And it'll be Jesus on earth with the saints. And it's going to be just an amazing thing. And he'll rule the world. As far as all the details about, will there be restaurants to eat at, you know, and all that kind of stuff? Will there be all these hotels? Will there, you know, and all that other stuff, you know? I don't know. Will we have cell phones? Maybe. Maybe. who knows? We might have to go back to just having horses and buggies like they did back in the 1800s. Even if we did, I'm sure it would be pleasant. But as far as what will life be like for that thousand-year reign, what I do know is that it'll be a lot better than it is now. Jesus will be living on the earth. The devils won't be here. I mean, yeah, he'll be chained up, unable to deceive anybody. So he'll essentially be in like a jail cell. Now just thinking about it, this revelation. Why is it called revelation? Because it's revelation about God. Stuff being revealed about what will happen. And what was seen happening. That's why it's called revelation. Because revelation comes from the word reveal. And that means those who wrote it, you know, they saw visions from God, and they gave their accounts of what they saw, and obviously they were proven. Because there wouldn't be any fake stuff in it. Otherwise, it would be a fake Bible. Right? It would be a fake Bible. Then it would be a fake Bible. And that would make all the promises void. But thank God they're not. Thank God the promises of God are not void. That's why Revelation even has been totally verified, like by the various people and that's those were the visions that had been seen, with the various visions that are seen all over the Book of Revelations, all kinds of visions about all kinds of things. Shelley, did you see a single donut in the Book of Revelation? What about a whoopee? Any cookies? No. And that was after last night, listeners, when I told you guys that I thought for sure that there would be sugar in heaven. You know, and donuts and all that kind of stuff that even Pastor thinks there'll be sugar in heaven. He yelled it from the pulpit once, remember? He yelled it. He said, yeah. He was all excited about it. As would I. You were there when I told him, when I told Pastor about the donut, remember? He basically said, get away from me, River. Like that, like in a nice way, but you know what I mean. Like he said, you wouldn't have to get away from me, but you'd have to get the donut away from me, you know? I love you, but just keep the donut away. Don't tempt me, you know. You know, and he's never admitted from the pulpit, you know, that he likes donuts, but he loves has admitted that he loves the pies and butterscotch pie. And I have to admit to you, listeners, butterscotch has really become one of my favorites. Over the years, you say, does Brother Buckley have something to do with it? I don't know. To me, it tastes good. Do I think about it? Am I thinking about him? Do I find myself thinking about him whenever I'm eating it? I would be lying if I said no. Because the truth of the matter is, of course, it's not the only thing I'm thinking about when I'm eating it. But I'm thinking about him, and I can just imagine him sitting there eating. And him just sitting there, just kind of like whispering. Mr. Lashki, Marcello, raging on my sword. Like, well, he's just sitting there eating it. you know, like that's just what he's thinking. While he's sitting there eating. It's almost like, let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Well, this is... Let it be a sweet, sweet taste in your mouth. And it's like, I love this butterscotch, and I lift my fork to eat this pie, and my spirit and my mouth rejoices. Take joy, my tongue, in what you taste. Let it be a sweet, sweet taste in your mouth. Basically, that's how it would go, right? I know, right? You like butterscotch, don't you? Oh, that's right. It's caramel. You with butter, caramel, but butterscotch really is. You know, it is really good stuff. But anyhow, like I said, but you think about that. 1,000 years. That's a long time. After the 1,000, at the end of the 1,000 years, that's when you see the dead are brought back to life again, and it's like another resurrection. And then, I think my favorite part of the 1,000 years will be Jesus being here on the earth with us. Of course, first he'll come for us with the rapture, but he doesn't touch down. But he will, of course, blow the trumpet in Zion, like the verse said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion, my holy mountain. That'll be the trumpet, like the alarm. It won't be Dr. Buckley's alarm. Yeah, that thing. Nope, it won't be that thing. But it was back when we dealt with the rapture. And how the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And I was telling you that there's multiple people in my life that were in my life that I just can't wait to, when I get to heaven, to get to say hello to them and hug them and shake their hands. I didn't say greet them from 6 feet away. Jesus said great, you know, Paul had said greet one another with a holy kiss. He didn't say from 6 feet away. Oh, now they want to change it to 10 feet. You know, some people, they want to change it to 10 feet. You know that, Shelley? Yeah. Some people would like to change it to 10 feet. I don't know why they think that. Needless to say, of course, in heaven, yeah, I'll be shaking their hands, giving them a big bear hug. You know, and of course, for those you were really close to, giving them that holy kiss that Paul said to use. And I know maybe in America we don't do that in heaven. If it's like my grandma or somebody, I'll be using that holy kiss. And someone might be thinking, is that what you thought about all lockdown? No. No. I just think about that verse, and I just think about heaven and what I'm going to do when I see all those people that I remember, various people that have been in my life. But this has been an awesome series. We started it with the Mark of the Beast, and we discovered that the Beast, first of all, the dragon, which is of course missing, that the dragon represents the devil. And the beast, part of that has to do with the whole Antichrist thing. And, oh, let me tell you, oh, do we have an Antichrist spirit going on right now in this country? It's not good. That's why we've got to curse that thing. Then we dealt with the rapture. And what happens with the rapture. And I gave you different verses about what would happen. Not only the rapture, but the rapture and what are the signs of it. And we had looked at Matthew 24, and we read about some of the signs. Wars and rumors of wars and things of that nature, in which he had basically said, the end is near, but the end is not yet. And obviously, there'd be lots of deception. We're seeing tons of that. They'd be saying, oh, here's the Christ. There he is. Here he is. There he is. He said, don't believe it. Stars falling from the sky and that. Oh, by the time you get to stars falling from the sky, the heavenly body's shaken. That's like tribulation stuff. Which leads me into the next lesson. We dealt with the tribulation and what all happens during that tribulation. And my friend, you do not want to be here during the tribulation period. You do not want to be here during the tribulation period, period. And if you're here after the rapture, pray. Because then they're going to line you up. And if you say that you didn't know Jesus, you're going to hellfire. It's as simple as that. If you say, yes, I did know Jesus, Jesus is the Lord of my life, down you go, to heaven you go, to be with Jesus. Your natural body will die, but your spirit will go up to heaven. After the tribulation, we dealt with hell and what it's like and how hell is the lake of fire. And we dealt with the idea that people will claim that they did miracles and preached the word of God and all those great things. And then Jesus will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And by the way, Shelley, he just met 6 feet apart. Just get 6 feet apart, right? Shelley, just 6 feet apart? He just told the evildoers to just be 6 feet apart. Oh, no. He said, away. Away. Yeah, not 6 feet. But he said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. And then he said, those people will be thrown down, will be cast, thrown outside into the darkness, into the lake of fire, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I love how in Mark, how it says, where their worm never dies and the fire never goes out. I like how it's worded. Obviously, you don't like hellfire. You don't want to go to hell. Do everything you can to avoid it. Then last night we dealt with heaven and how marvelous it's going to be and how great it's going to be to get to be in heaven and get to worship Jesus, get to be there with him and get to be by his side and get to do, you know, and all the people will get to meet there and how we'll get to give our testimonies and hear other people's testimonies. And I have a lot of, and in addition to people over in my life, of course, I'll get want to meet a lot of other people maybe that they knew on that. But also there's a long list of Bible characters that made heaven that I can't wait to meet. I'd say, David, can you tell me parts of your story that weren't written, and maybe how you beat Goliath and the bear and the various things that you won over, some details that weren't written in the Bible? You'd want to know that, right? I know I would. And, you know, things from Jesus, things from other Bible characters. And all the different, and it'll be, and we had some fun along the way, and I told you about the different things that I think will be there. And then tonight, of course, we dealt with the 1,000-year reign and how that'll be. And we discussed how a day, how to God, a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. If a day was like 1,000 years, instead of 1,000 years being like a day, that means the day would go by so slow, which I wouldn't mind if it was summer. But if it was winter and it was going by so slow, I'd be like, get me out of here. It literally felt like 1,000 years going by, like January 5th. Like January 10th, 12th. Now, if it was in December doing that, like between the 1st and the 27th, that'd be fine. That'd be great. But 1,000-year reign will be marvelous. And the reason I did the series is because of us being in the last days. I wanted you to see from a biblical perspective how things will end up and what will happen. And so that's why I did this. I pray that this series helped you. I know that as I was doing it, I feel like I was helping myself even, which is good. Even though I knew most all of it, you know, it doesn't mean it doesn't minister to you. Still did. Amen. Heavenly Father, I come before you tonight. Thank you for the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the series that we've dealt with on the end times and the events, dealing with the mark of the beast, dealing with the dealing with the rapture, the tribulation, hell, heaven, and the 1,000-year reign. And everything that will happen. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that those people who haven't listened to it yet will listen to it. They will go online to the website and they will find these messages and they will hear them as they are archived. if you miss this, listeners, it'll be archived. So you'll be able to, if any part of it, it'll be archived. So you'll be able to go back and listen to it. All six of these. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this word tonight. Thank you for the series, that everyone who needs to hear it gets to hear it. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory for that tonight. May we be doers of the word and not hearers only. Because doing the word of God is what brings results, not just hearing it. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And heaven, I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no plague shall come nigh us, our immediate loved ones, because you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no sickness, no disease, no corona, no suicide, no burglar, no murderer, no terrorist. None of this evil stuff will come near us, our immediate loved ones, and we're going to live in great peace and great joy and prosperity and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. I love you, and next time I listen, I'll be 31 years old, and I plan to do more for God in this next year of my life than what I've done in any other year. Amen. And some of you haven't heard what I sound like, what I might sound like at 31 years old. Some of you might have not heard it yet. I don't know. Who knows? Will it be more punchy? Will it be, maybe it sounds like this? Who knows? You'll have to listen and find out. All right. Until tomorrow night, God first. No, until Monday. Until next week, God first, God always. So long, everybody.